I grew up in Paragould, and when I was in high school, I got involved in the tech TV program at my school. So I learned cameras and editing and kind of just fell in love with the technical side of you know, making videos. And I basically was also a movie buff and loved movies and decided to go to film school right out of high school. And that's kind of always what I wanted to do.
Well, so what was the inspiration for this particular film, 45 RPM?
I had been living in Los Angeles for a few years and working in the industry, and I knew that I wanted to come back to Arkansas and make a film. And when I came back to Arkansas and started researching just local history, and I've always been really interested in music, and I started kind of learning more about Arkansas music history. And when I did that, I kind of started finding out all these really fascinating stories about how there used to be all of these small, like, boutique recording studios all over the place and, like, little record labels. And that was, and of course, they've all gone, a lot of them have gone the way of the dinosaur, but it's kind of like, there was just, that was the way that bands promoted themselves, was to go into these little, you know, recording studios, press up a 45, and that's what they would, you know, pass around and send to radio stations. And I was just fascinated by what happened to all the music that didn't make it big, you know, like what happened if the music was really good, but it just didn't get out there the way it needed to, and it kind of became lost. And if nobody cared enough about that music to update it, you know, to put it on tape and to put it on CD and to put it on MP3, it was just trapped on that vinyl. And I just kind of became fascinated by why would someone need to go looking for that? Why would someone need to find a song? And I kind of built a story around those questions I had.
Well, then tell us, what is the plot? What is the story of 45 RPM?
45 RPM is a comedy road movie about a young girl named Charlie Clark trying to find a connection between her artwork and her deceased father's music. In order to do that, she basically teams up with an obsessive record collector out of Memphis, and they go driving all over Arkansas trying to track down a 45 record from the 1960s.
And Arkansas music then plays a huge part in the film itself.
Absolutely. There are over 40 tracks of music in our soundtrack. We track down music from the 60s and 70s that was what we consider garage rock, which is very, you know, like lo-fi sounding, fantastic tracks that either some of them are on record labels, some of them aren't, some of them were fairly popular in the day, some of them weren't. But it's all incredible music that really drives the film, and there's about half, you know, like vintage garage rock and half what we call like modern garage rock, where it's bands that have kind of that retro, you know, vintage feel that kind of worked with the story and pushed it forward. So there's a ton of music to really just get into and enjoy it in the film, and actually we're working really hard on putting out a soundtrack so people can have all that music in one place to listen to, because we really went digging into the vaults for some of these tracks.
Well, that was going to be my next question, was if a soundtrack is in the works, how do you get the rights to some of these songs that may be 40 years old from musicians that who knows where they are today?
Right. Well, I was incredibly lucky to work with Mike Poe out of Little Rock and Harold Ott out of Jacksonville. Both of those guys just, you know, worked with me, and we basically would go through tracks of music, see if it would work for the film, and then seek out the artist. And if that meant, you know, calling up, you know, the wife of the lead singer who was no longer living and seeing who had the rights, or tracking down the defunct record label and finding out who the rights got transferred to, or in one case we a lady, Joyce Green, actually, we had to write her a letter, and like a physical letter, and mail it to her, and get those rights. But for us, it was just we're a very small, low budgeted film, and so it was just a matter of we didn't have the money to go chasing after these, you know, like bigger, well known tracks from, you know, artists that you've heard of your whole life. So we, in the spirit of the movie, wanted to find this lost music and seek it out. And of course, that just takes an inordinate amount of time. So we've been working on that process since the beginning of the film production, which was in 2011. So you can see it's been quite a journey to get it all together, but it has finally all come together.
Well, let's talk a little bit about bringing it together from a financial standpoint. You mentioned that you're an independent filmmaker, relatively low budget. What are some of the challenges you faced in simply getting your concept digitized, I would say, right, on film these days, but it's not on film anymore. But tell us a bit about that process.
Right. It's even if you're a small budgeted film, it still takes a lot of money to make what happens on screen happen, because it's just there's so many people involved in the process. I was incredibly fortunate to, once I had written my script, I had heard about the Ozark Foothills Film Festival partnered with the Arkansas Arts Council, and this was in 2011, to give out 3 grants to filmmakers. Now, this is the first time that the state has done anything like that, like through the Arts Council, and I was actually lucky enough to get one of those grants. So they only gave out 3 grants, and it had to be an Arkansas filmmaker, had to be a film that was shot in Arkansas with like 90% cast and crew, which we had no problem. And and that was, my project just happened to fit really well within the guidelines of the grant. So that actually acted as our seed money and got us, in contact with, we hired some really fantastic professionals to come and work on the film, and we were able to make it look and sound incredible. So,
well, what are some of the locations where you shot in around the state of Arkansas that people might recognize?
Well, we shot a bit in Paragould, a little bit in between Paragould, Jonesboro, Walnut Ridge, a little bit in Portia, Mountain Home, Little Rock, Lone Oak. I'm trying to remember. We shot in a lot. It's a road movie, so we wanted to move around a lot and get a lot of good scenery in and awesome locations. And we shot one scene in Pocahontas, so it's just kind of all over. People that are from this area are absolutely going to recognize quite a few landmarks.
Well, now that the film is completed, what do you as a filmmaker do to get your work out to an audience to see it? Tell us about the process for what an independent filmmaker does to now get your film seen by as many people as possible.
In order to get the film out to an audience, the avenues for me as an independent filmmaker are starting with film festivals and basically trying to get into film festivals, which is a whole process in and of itself, because you take the completed film, you submit it to a film festival. Usually there's a fee, and then you have to wait months to hear if you're even accepted. But that's what I've been doing for 45 RPM for the past year, is getting it into film festivals, traveling when I can to those film festivals, promoting the film, and getting, audiences to come and see it all over the country. And what this does is, since film festivals, they work really hard to have their own reputation and their own claim to fame, and so when you screen at their festival, their audiences are coming there to see, new and innovative films, and you get to be part of that excitement. And so you get to reach a much bigger audience than if I, tried to get my film into, like 5 local theaters that were close by. It's a big process to try and get into film festivals, but it also gets you out to a much bigger audience and puts you in touch with a lot of filmmakers and people that can help you get connections to distribution, which is, of course, what we all want, which is, in theory, when someone sees the film and really likes it, then maybe they'll put you in touch with a distributor. And we're actually in talks to do what they call VOD, or video on demand. I'm hoping that'll come out this summer, which is where a company wants to take on the project and actually release us on like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and that sort of thing.
Now, this is not your first project, but what, through working on 45 RPM, what have you learned as a filmmaker from working on this film?
I learned an incredible amount. I was the writer, director, and producer of the movie, and this was my first feature film. My background before this was mostly doing camera work. So I really made a big leap from making small short films and shooting other people's projects to writing my own film and directing my own feature film. So I learned everything imaginable, everything from, how to budget correctly and how to, handle logistics to, just troubleshooting on the actual set itself, to the perseverance it takes to, start the project, and 5 years later, I'm still, you know, pushing it and, you know, excited to get it out to people. And it's really just, you know, it's an incredible learning curve. And if anyone's interested in filmmaking, it's definitely something you can't jump into lightly, I don't think.
Well, the last topic I want to cover with you is, as you've said, it's been screened at film festivals all across the country, but now it's in your hometown. It's going to be shown there in Paragould. What does it mean to you to have your film shown there in your hometown?
It means an incredible amount to me to have where I grew. I mean, I grew up in Paragould. I lived here all my life. I graduated high school from here, and I moved away for college and to work in Los Angeles, but I've come back now, and the resources that I found here to make the film were just unprecedented. Like, people get excited about film here, and that's really great for a filmmaker who's, you know, trying to, you know, make this their career. And so the fact that I was able to draw on the community and actually, you know, like, bring the community and involve the community in making the film, because there's so many people that are in the film or involved in the film, and you know, most of my family and a huge amount of extended family and friends are involved in the film or loaned us props for the film or, you know, gave us a location or helped in numerous ways. So the fact that I actually get to be like, hey guys, Saturday, you know, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, come see the film. They can actually see it instead of being like, oh, we're in Atlanta this week, or oh, we're in, you know, Philadelphia this week. It's fantastic that I got to go to those places, but it just means a lot to know that all of my friends and family can go and see it at the Collins, you know, this weekend.
And you have a website established with much more details about the film.
Absolutely. You can go on our website and watch our trailer. You can see all the festivals we've been in. You can read reviews of what people are saying about the film. Our website is just 45rpmmovie.com. If you wanted to know more about the film, you can check us out on our website. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We try to stay really active with social media. One of the fun things we're going to do at the screening on Saturday is we'll be doing giveaways during the Q&As that happen after each screening, and you can also pick up a really cool pair of, like, free sunglasses that match our character Louis' glasses in the film. And like I said, we're into social media, so you can definitely take a picture of those and post them, hashtag us 45RPM movie as well.